Pleasure to be with you once again on this Lord's Day morning. I think it's been 6 or 7 months since I was last at Westminster Church. It's nice to be with you on this occasion. The text this morning is, I think, a familiar one from the Gospel according to Luke. Let us hear that word from God, Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 4. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people came from town after town, came to him, he, that is Jesus, said in a parable, a sower went out to sow, his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ear to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rocks are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Thus far, the reading of God's word. I said this was a familiar story, probably not as beloved a parable as the Good Samaritan, or the prodigal son, those that involve people and their emotions and reunions and compassion and so forth. But one that is very familiar, I think, probably because it's one of the few that Jesus explains in some detail. And I don't want to elaborate on the entire parable this morning, but for several years now, I have been struck as I've read this occasionally by one particular element in it. And at the risk of being a little unbalanced, I want to call your attention to that certain element. Let me explain what I'm saying. Jesus spelled out the meaning of this very familiar story, and we've got separate accounts of it in each of the first three Gospels. Everybody knows what it means, I suppose, now, if you're at all familiar with the New Testament. The seed sown is the word, the good news of the kingdom of God, and some seed falls on the hardened footpath, and it's quickly gobbled up by the birds as it lays on the top of the soil. That's to say that the word of God, when it is proclaimed, often falls on deaf ears, and it comes to nothing. It's gone before you know it. Other seed falls on rocky ground, and this springs up immediately and just as quickly dies. This is the word that is received with joy, but later wilts in the face of trial or persecution. We'll return to the third soil in just a moment, the seed sown among thorns. But the fourth and the final ground, and we hope that that is representative of most of us here, is the fertile soil. And the seed sown there grows, takes root, and bears good fruit in great abundance, in different amounts of abundance. The faithful church members who love God, who listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word, who want to follow Jesus and do His commandments, these are the people who bring much happiness to their pastors and elders. But now, to go back to the seed that falls among thorns. Ah, you see, that is a very different matter. Whenever thorns choke the seed, it causes great grief to church leaders, to the parents of covenant children, to other committed believers in the church. People like this are truly heartbreakers. And it is that aspect of this story that makes it the most troublesome and disconcerting, at least to me, as I've read it again and again. Now, before we consider it any further, allow me one other observation. We should not, I don't think, look at these soils and consider them in some fatalistic way. As we listen to this parable, as we read it, think about it, we mustn't let our right belief, a proper belief in the sovereignty of God and His ordering of all things, to lead us to conclude that the kind of soil that we are is somehow carved in stone and unchangeable, as if it were true that just because my heart is naturally hard by birth, as all of ours are, that there's no point in my seeking to believe in Christ and the Bible. Not at all. Jesus tells this parable not to discourage us from listening to the Word of God, to conclude, well, I'm the hard path, or I'm the rocky soil. There's no point in my listening to this. No, but it is to urge us to think seriously about how we hear the Word and how we respond to the gospel. And this is why I think that while it's understandable that we refer to it as the parable of the sower, it's really not about the sower, the preacher, or even the seed so much as it is about the soil in which this seed falls. We ought to be making a sincere effort as we hear the Word to hear and receive the truth of God's Word with faith and love. And in addition, we also, in terms of this parable, must beware of the spiritual dangers that we face in listening to the gospel. In particular, we need to make sure that we don't allow these thorns, the weeds, to take over our hearts and choke the Word of God. Now, what are these thorns that we all need to be wary of? In Luke's account of the parable, that we just read, Jesus speaks of them as the cares and riches and pleasures of life. In the Gospel according to Mark, he refers to the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things. These are the powerful forces at work fighting against the Word of God in our lives. The insidious power of these thorns is, I've come to conclude, the usual explanation why some longtime church members, why covenant children raised within the bosom of the church abandon Christ. Now, at this point, I don't want you to misunderstand me, because it's easy to draw a wrong inference from what I just said. We do believe in the perseverance of faith, in eternal security. That is to say, those who are regenerated, renewed by the Holy Spirit, born again, these will be infallibly preserved unto everlasting life by the grace of Jesus Christ. This is a precious and a comforting truth for all believers, and nothing I'm saying here is meant to undermine or attack your confidence in the grace and power of God. God's word, as Isaiah declares, always accomplishes God's purpose. But there is more to be said. And that more is that a very sad and tragic fact remains. And you have seen it with your own eyes. If you've been in the church, been a Christian for any period of time, you have witnessed it. We probably, I don't know how it is in your church, but in mine, we read about it in the bulletin, the worship bulletin from time to time, that someone, maybe even someone we know quite well, that the elders once thought was a true believer in Jesus, a sincere Christian, now it turns out doesn't want to have anything more to do with Jesus or the church. After all this time, after all these years, how is that possible? How does it happen? Well, more often than not, the explanation is that the Word of God has been choked by thorns, by worries over various events in life, or a passion to get more money, or a desire for new, maybe forbidden pleasures and possessions, maybe a combination of such weeds. These are the things that choke off our love for Christ. And that is why people stop believing and just drift away from church and leave the fellowship. Let's be more specific. Take the first, the cares of life. That's the first weed that Jesus mentioned. Now, you know, life hits us with many cares, anxieties, frequent severe difficulties happen to most of us. And they ought to drive us always closer to God. The writers of the Psalms, when they get in trouble, when they're distressed, regularly cry out to the Lord for help. They draw near to God in prayer when they confront the trials of this life. And sometimes it also happens that way today. People have a crisis. Someone is ill. There's problems. And their instinct is to go to God in prayer. Their instinct is to come into the church to listen to the Word of God. But sadly, tragically, all too often, it does just the opposite. A man gets laid off work and becomes understandably anxious about finding a decent job to support himself and his family. But, you know, with the high rate of unemployment, there simply aren't any positions available, at least not any that will support himself and his family. How are they going to get by? Will they sink deeper and deeper into debt? Will they even lose their home? Such legitimate concerns frequently just smother faith. They stifle people's attendance at worship, and the Word proves unfruitful. It's the same with health problems. Of course, it's completely normal for people to be concerned about themselves or their children getting sick, not just for the pain and the disruption and the danger to life itself, but also because of the high costs of medical treatment, prescription drugs, and so on. By the way, politicians and others will prey upon our fear of illness as a means to control our lives. But that's another subject. I watched a dear Christian couple go through some very disturbing and painful experiences. This young husband's father, who was supposedly a Christian of long standing, betrayed his own wife of many years and others in the family. And then this younger man's wife miscarried a couple of times. And this combination of experiences left them both disillusioned and frankly bitter. Instead of seeking comfort from God, instead of fleeing to the fellowship of believers, they dropped out of church, withdrew into themselves. Now we are praying, that they'll come back. But right now, a lot of thorns are choking the Word of God. Second type of thorns that Jesus mentions is riches, or the deceitfulness of riches. Now, it's quite common, you know, for Scripture to point out the dangers of wealth. But deep poverty may lead us to theft, while on the other hand, riches or a lust for riches may choke love for Christ. This was a common danger mentioned in the Old Testament as well as the New. When your coffers are full, when things are, we may have forgotten those days now for the last several years, but when our material needs are being met, where's the necessity for God in our lives? At least that's how a lot of people think. And they lose interest in the Scriptures. They become indifferent to matters of faith and obedience. The deceitfulness of riches. Third type of thorns is what Jesus calls the pleasures of life, or the desires for other things. We know these passions well enough, don't we? There are so many new exotic experiences and toys out there at our disposal, especially if you feel that you've led a sheltered life, you've grown up in this narrow environment and haven't been able to really do things that others do? What is so bad, after all, about the pleasures of your non-Christian friends and the things that your neighbors seem to enjoy so much? What could be so bad about them? I recall Covenant children, idealistic boys and girls who hadn't a clue, who decided that marrying a committed believer, someone of like faith, wasn't all that important to their future happiness and well-being. Sometimes they imagine that this lovely wife or this dreamy husband will come around in time and be a good Christian. Don't count on it. Many young people, like some of you here this morning, raised in solid Christian homes, taught the scriptures, have rushed into a marriage foolishly that rather quickly turns sour, or else they have allowed thorns in such a relationship to strangle the Word of God in their souls. These, my friends, are the tragedies of living in Christ's church. I can tell you that they eat up the time, the energies of your elders. They break the hearts of godly parents. The Word of God being choked by these wretched thorns. What can be done? How do we keep for ourselves the precious seed of God's Word, which has been planted in our hearts, from being choked by these thorns? Well, a steady diet of the Scripture is crucial. Thorns spring up all too easily if we neglect our Bibles, if we absent ourselves from the worship of the church. In the 119th Psalm that we read, the writer talks to himself and to God. He says, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" He answers his own question, "By guarding it according to your word. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." But we'll need not only to hear the Bible, but also to put it into practice, to apply it to our own lives, so that when cares and anxieties invade our hearts, we will be mindful of Paul's words: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." This echoes our Lord Jesus, who elsewhere said, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." Why not fret? He says it's because our Heavenly Father knows that we need all these things. He will never forsake us. When riches make their deceitful appeal, we should remember, and it shouldn't be hard these days, the uncertainty of worldly wealth. Jesus exhorts us, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Many Christians, professing Christians, have messed up their lives big time by chasing the empty dream of greater wealth. Or, and they wouldn't put it like I just did. It would be just a little bit more money, you know, just enough to make ends meet. Watch out. When the pleasures and passions of life beckon you to drink deeply from their cup, never forget that at the bottom of the glass lies destruction. An outspoken Christian scholar, best-selling author, divorced his wife of more than two decades in favor of a new partner. In the process, he lost a prestigious job, damaged his good name, and continues to pay dearly for pursuing his passion. Desires for other things, things that God doesn't give us, will blind our eyes to the truth, impoverish our souls, and keep the Word of God from bearing any good fruit in us. The purpose of the sowing, that is, the purpose of teaching and preaching God's Word, is that it might bring forth mature fruit out of good and honest hearts. God's wish, as His Word is sown, is that we who hear, we who sit here week after week, we who open up our Bibles in our homes, in private and around the family altar, that we may receive it, as our catechism says, with faith and love, lay it up in our hearts, and practice it in our lives. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I urge you to read and study and meditate upon the Word of God in your Bibles prayerfully and regularly. They present to you the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, all that He has done to accomplish our salvation, all that He has given us in His death and resurrection, all that He has promised in the outpouring of His Holy Spirit. Listen to that Word with attentive minds when it is read at home and in the public worship of God, and treasure it. Treasure it above all the riches and pleasures of this world. Commit yourself in reliance upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to a life of patient obedience to every word that comes from the mouth of God. Don't allow His good word to be choked by thorns. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank You for the mighty Word of God, the Word of the Gospel that is sown by Your servants, that has come into our ears and in many cases into our hearts. May it take deep root. May it grow and flourish. Grant us grace as the days, the weeks, the years pass to be on the lookout for the thorns, the weeds that would choke it. Deliver us from all of these dangers by Your grace. Help us to be alert to every indication that we are growing cold, that we are becoming indifferent to your word and to what you say in the scriptures. Give us your grace, O God, that we might cling to Jesus and hear his voice every day, every week. We ask these things in his name. Amen.